and I don't do things I'm not really passionate about. I have to connect to something in a real meaningful way before I can sell it. And so you just have to all of a sudden wake up one day and be like, okay, I'm ready to meet my destiny.
Totally. My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
My name is Rachel Upshaw, and I'm the founder and CEO of Fortune Movie. Fortune Movie is the first crowd fortune movie studio. I know I'm throwing a lot of words at you, but crowd fortune is the new crowdfunding. Think of it that way.
And how is it the new crowdfunding? What does that mean? How's it compare to like raising money for a film with Indiegogo?
So we're kind of thinking of it as Netflix meets Kickstarter. Our goal is to make studio quality movies that normally you used to see at the theater, and now all the movie studios have put all their eggs in the superhero baskets. So we want to pick up the slack. We want to make those movies that, you know, women will love for the rest of their lives.
And when did Fortune Movie, when was it created? And it's fortune.movie. So it's www.fortune.movie. Like that is the URL.
Yeah,
indeed.
Fortune.movie is the URL. Check it out on any of your devices.
And when did you create it?
Fortune Movie was founded in August 2016, and it is the iteration of all of these ideas that I've had over the past few years of living in Los Angeles and trying to break into the movie business, and then realizing there was this amazing tech startup scene right down the street at the beach, and thinking there has to be a way to connect these two worlds.
And it's cool. You were explaining it to me before we were recording, saying that that it's with Indiegogo, people crowdfund a campaign, but then the movie never gets made, which is really disappointing. So you want to create an environment where not only the people contributing to your movie being created are a part of that production, they also help with distribution, and your platform helps the project management of the movie get made.
Exactly. So to answer the first part of that question, that is what makes it a fortune. That's what makes it kind of magical. We want fans to invest in stories that they want to see become movies. And we have a 5-step, no debt movie making process. It takes a lot of the different individual steps that movie theaters do or they outsource. Like the distribution ecosystem is full of all sorts of layers that only exists because that's the status quo. And you realize fans have direct access to these stars and actors who they love. Like, why not just sell directly to the fans? And why not get those initial fans involved in the distribution? And they can get part of the sale. They can get a dollar from each stream.
And did you just say no debt?
The goal is to raise money from the fans, and that money goes directly to the movie production. So once the movie's launched, you're not in the red. You're already at break even. So even if no one else rents the movie, you still, you know, have already broken even.
Wait, I'm sorry. I must be missing something, but that's a really big deal in the film industry, people talking about how they lost all their money in trying to be part of a film. So
exactly. Yeah. That's, I came up with this idea after some people, investors told me, Rachel, we love your movie idea, and we think that marketing to your target audience through influencer affiliate links, you know, it could be interesting, but no one's going to write you a check for $5 million. And obviously $5 million is a lot of money, but compared to the budgets for so many movies, it's very doable. You look at all the money that can be raised through different platforms, either for causes or for you know, Kickstarters for movies, there just hasn't been this sweet spot of low budget movies. It's been a lot of the micro budget, you know, and things just get lost in the weeds. So we want to come at this from a product perspective of, you know, planned out. I'm a project manager at heart. I love to see the big picture and figure out how to get from A to B.
Have you heard of Crowdfunder?
I have not.
Remind me to introduce you to Darren. Okay. Darren is an amazing, amazing, amazing LA tech founder, and he created a company called Crowdfunder. They work in a different space, but still in raising big money for projects. And I think you guys would
enjoy
definitely. Meeting one another.
And I know he's some other crowdfunding people.
And I know he's someone you could trust. So yeah. So what inspired you to create this company, and what does it mean to you?
I moved to Los Angeles 4 years ago to be a screenwriter. My whole life, I've always loved movies and entertainment. I was born in the 80s, and when my parents found out that they were pregnant with me, they went out and bought a VCR, and that kind of sums up my childhood.
That's adorable.
So ever since I was little, I always had this creative bug. I just didn't know how I would make it happen, and eventually I realized, now or never, just learn how to write screenplays and it'll all work out. And I realized, living in LA, the harsh reality is the Hollywood movie business is really crumbling. I mean, it's a 100-year-old business model based on box office success, and the studios are all, they're nervous. They know that it's not sustainable. You're fighting for eyeballs from so many different areas, and getting people to theaters is harder and harder. And so I realized that the video on demand space is going to be a $100 billion industry within a decade. And Netflix is like the sun and the moon and everything else. And there's all these other competitors kind of fighting for their share. And I thought,
I mean, Amazon's up there already, right?
Amazon is, but Amazon, it has always stayed true to the fact that they're a company focused on selling products, and any content that they make that people like is great, but that's not their sole focus. So the idea of coming into this space as a movie company, creating these stories that can be told in 120 minutes. And our goal is to reach fans wherever they watch screens. So have movies that you can watch on your phone or your iPad or your computer, or maybe someday from your self-driving car. I mean, it's crazy how much content is going to be available to us. And I want to be a part of it. I want to tell those stories.
When did you become interested in tech?
In the past few years, I became more and more curious about how tech companies get off the ground. Being from Austin, I remember the dot-com bubble, and people became very rich and very poor, you know, and I was watching from afar, and you know, I was still a fairly young child, I guess, but I've always been curious how things are made, and I personally have fairly limited tech skills in terms of developing programs, but I would love to learn more. I would love to learn how to code and just being a part of this community. It's so inspiring to see women in all different parts of business and in tech, and realizing we can all work together. We can create a new infrastructure that we don't have to fight for equality if we just bake it in from the beginning.
100%. It's really, I love, one thing I love about meeting people like you is you're a female founder of a tech company, and that you aren't a coder, and you're not fully immersed into everything technical. You're not letting that hold you back from forging ahead and finding the right partnerships, people, and resources to make sure that you have everything you need within your arsenal to be a successful female founder.
Exactly. And
of a tech company.
And it's not hard to find other women to help support you in the areas where you don't necessarily have those skills. You just have to make it a priority to have a diverse team come together. And that's what's so great about this podcast and what you're doing.
Oh,
and
thanks.
Just bringing together women from all over.
How did you become exposed to the tech world?
This is such a cliche Hollywood answer, but I would say watching Mr. Robot in Silicon Valley in the past year has opened me up to just little facets of the tech world and different types of characters that not necessarily represent all the people in the tech world, but I think they do accurately capture, you know, a little bit of personalities and realizing I don't necessarily fit into those boxes, but I get along with a lot of different kinds of people and, you know, I could get along with Elliot.
Oh my gosh, I love Christian Slater. Could you know, speaking of Christian Slater, do you remember Pump Up the Volume?
From like the 80s?
Yeah. So I discovered Pump Up the Volume and I like memorized the movie and now I'm a podcaster and I'm like, it had to be something.
Oh my gosh.
With Pump Up the Volume. So Christian Slater was this like underground radio DJ.
It's so funny.
And by the way, in college, I was a radio DJ and I was like, the world's worst radio DJ that could have ever existed. So I'm definitely not destined to be like a DJ. I'm awful
but
at DJing.
But Esprit, I found you because of your podcast and I loved your hosting skills.
Oh,
so I think you are selling yourself short. You're
I right. mean, should I thank Christian Slater?
I think it all comes back to Christian Slater and how he's affected our
lives. I mean, look, Christian Slater was also in Gleaming the Cube. I don't know if you remember that.
No.
And Gleaming the Cube is a skateboarding movie. I grew an action sports company and like Tony Hawk was like a stunt double. And then there was Heathers. Like, I just like, I think Christian Slater just like formed my identity somehow.
It's anyway. Like you never know who you'll run into on the streets.
Seriously. I've never met him, which is strange, but yay,
you
Christian
just,
Slater.
Just put it, I'm big on manifesting, putting things out in the
I know.
Universe.
Well, no, first, if I had to choose between Eminem and Christian Slater, I'd go Eminem first. I'm like, why have I not met Eminem
Did
yet?
Did you watch Felicity? Sorry.
Matt. No, but I mean, that's the girl that like cut her hair
yeah,
off or
so
something.
She. Carrie Russell.
I love how like this poor
this
actress
is,
cuts all her hair off.
I know,
and that's what I remember.
So in Felicity, there were two love interests, Ben and then this other guy. He's not important.
Yeah.
And I saw the actor who played Ben recently at a coffee shop. And it was one of those true LA moments where you're like, you have to be cool right now. There's no way you can like turn into like 13-year-old Rachel. He is so handsome.
Is he still a working actor?
I think so. Scott Speedman, if you're listening to this, you look phenomenal. And I was there with my husband. And then he points to him and he says, I'm thinking about getting one of those denim shirts that that guy has. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, be cool. Like, that guy is famous. Don't point at him.
Oh, my God. So LA.
Yeah, such an LA story.
Oh, my
Sorry.
God. No, that's amazing. Anyway. Yes. So, I mean, get back on track. What would you say your calling is?
My calling is to be a storyteller, and it doesn't necessarily have to be my story that I'm telling, but I love connecting with interesting people around the world and honestly just stealing little bits of their stories to tell a collective story of experience. And I like things that have happy endings. I like to make people laugh and smile, and I think there could be more of that, honestly, in the world.
And how did you know that that was your calling?
Through lots of trial and error. My first career, I moved to New York straight out of school, and I worked in corporate communications for pharmaceutical companies, and I learned some interesting things, and one of those was that I was not meant to work up a corporate ladder and live out of a cubicle and have that very rigid corporate life. I was always diminishing my personality to fit in other people's boxes, and honestly, I just felt horrible, and I knew I had to figure out what it was in life that was my purpose, and slowly but surely.
How did you go about taking action to develop that calling?
I have one very specific memory of being in New York and just really being at kind of the quarter life crisis rock bottom. And I took out this notebook and I just brainstormed all of the dream job scenarios I could imagine in my life. And I've honestly worked through like half of that page without even knowing it. One of them was like, you know, just being a writer, and I had a blog for a long time, and then now becoming a screenwriter, that was on the list, and being a consultant and being a startup founder, and stand-up comedy was even on that list. Shout out to Jerry Corley's stand-up comedy class in Burbank, California.
That's awesome.
I tried that, and even, you know, going to an open mic night and honestly just like bombing at 1 a.m. It was one of those moments of like, okay, I can check this off the list. I love writing, but I am not a stand-up comedian. I don't have the passion for this. Keep chugging along until you find that one thing that feels like it really fits and you can imagine doing it forever.
Totally. I a lot of times say when people are like looking, they're like, how'd you know like about that? I'm like, life is like a smorgasbord. You just have to like taste everything and try everything and then see which ones you like.
And a lot of it is kind of growing into your ideas and feeling confident. I'm the kind of person, my two biggest Achilles heels are I don't do anything unless I, in my core, I feel like I'm ready to move to that next step. And I don't do things I'm not really passionate about. I have to connect to something in a real meaningful way before I can sell it. And so you just have to all of a sudden wake up one day and be like, okay, I'm ready to meet my destiny.
Totally. By the way, improv is like, I think one of the biggest secrets to success, because I took improv classes with Second City and I've taken like, it was totally random. I'm not an actress, not looking to be a comedian. It was one of those things that I just randomly stumbled upon. And I found that it helps you with communication skills. It helps you with public speaking. It helps you in business to think and be more creative or to be decisive or to, you know, it just, it's like one of those secret skill sets that I would recommend to absolutely
Definitely.
Everyone to take improv classes.
I would always have classified myself as stage fright, as scared of microphones until I did a little bit of performing. And now I'm like, okay, not for me as a career, but if you want me to be a bridesmaid, I will crush that rehearsal dinner speech.
So I took a class with, I think his name's Gary. It was a while ago now. He if I remember correctly, he founded Groundlings,
oh, wow.
which is a famous yeah. comedy studio. And I remember somehow he got me so comfortable to sing, and I cannot sing, to sing in front of the whole class with confidence. I mean, I couldn't even do that right now. But somehow, like, in his studio, I sang with commitment and confidence in front of, like, 30 people. Which is so gnarly because I'm like literally the world's worst singer. Like, it was crazy.
So I think getting out of your comfort zone is definitely one of the first steps to figuring out your purpose in life.
Totally. And you brought up earlier that you were working in pharmaceutical sales and you're like, no, I really want to be a female founder and pursue other things in life. And so, like, tell me more about that path that you were on and like, and how you decided to pivot. And then how those lessons that you experienced then aided to your success today?
Well, in my heart, I've always wanted to be a startup founder. My dad started a company when he was in his 20s. He basically invented the Walkman right before Sony. And then he did
it. Are you serious?
Yeah. He was a ski bum living in Colorado. And he was an engineer. And he wanted to listen to music while he skied. And he developed this independent sound system, and he tried to, you know, he got some money from family and friends, and he built,
get out, this is crazy.
He built the prototype, and he was trying to get off the ground right as Sony was introducing the Walkman. So I feel like my whole family, I've had this lore of like, okay, you know, we all have to like find our idea, but it's a lot about timing too. And so I always had it in the back of my head, you know, is this the right idea? Do I really want to put all my eggs in this basket? And so I've had a few business ideas over the years that would have made me a startup founder, but nothing I was super passionate about until I moved to LA. And just all of a sudden I was like, I have to be a part of this tech scene. I want to be a female founder. I want to be someone who changes the conversation. I'm sick of people talking about how women don't have equal opportunities. It's like, no. We just have to make those opportunities.
Amen. Give me a fist pump on that one. But you were working in pharmaceutical
sales. Oh, yeah.
Sales.
Sorry, I forgot about that part.
No. Yeah.
So I worked, one of my jobs, I worked for a consultant company, and we were in charge of advocacy relations. So we worked with patient groups, and we wanted to help them get money to do all these great programs. But as my boss told me, like, the reason that the pharmaceutical clients are the clients is because they have the money. And I think that was probably one of the best lessons I learned, is go where the money is, figure out a way that you can get a part of these bigger company budgets. And that's what I'm trying to do now, is build these partnerships with brands that I love personally and figure out how they can channel their marketing dollars away from advertising and into storytelling, and how we can create this next generation of quasi-branded content that is organic, that fits what fans want and fits what companies want, that has a clear ROI for them. And, you know, we can just share amazing brands that we love. And that's, yeah, go where the money is.
Who has your mentor been in getting where you are today?
I have had a few different mentors. I'm always looking for more. If anyone is listening and thinks this girl has a lot of big ideas and she needs help, that's always true. But the woman who worked at a pharmaceutical company who brought me to Berlin, she has probably been one of my best mentors, just in terms of supporting me as a person and seeing skills in me that maybe I didn't even know I had, and pushing me just to get out of that comfort zone, like I was saying, and chase those dreams. Don't pigeonhole yourself just for the sake of a paycheck. Go out there and make something happen.
So you live in LA now. Are you from LA?
I am from Austin, Texas, originally. I went to the University of Texas, Hickam Horns. We have to say that after we name drop our school. And I moved to New York from there, where I worked in my pharma career. And while I was in New York, I got an opportunity to go work in Berlin for 6 months. So I went there, and that was when I had this big aha moment of go chase your destiny. And I ended up in Los Angeles.
And in Berlin, were you still working in pharmaceutical sales?
I was still working for the pharma company, and that has been a big source of inspiration in terms of my creative writing, just because though you hear about these big companies, but it's pretty entertaining to see how they work, you know, from the inside.
Yeah, I bet. And overwhelming at the same time, I'm sure. How do you overcome challenges?
I think imposter syndrome has been a term thrown around a lot lately. I think that has always been one of my biggest challenges, of just feeling confident. And honestly, I live in LA. I have held a crystal and cried about taking back my power. I mean, you know, I've
gone to a psychic.
You know, there's a lot of energy healing in this city. But honestly, I really think focusing from the inside out, of being confident with yourself and finding something you're truly passionate about, that automatically gives you a step up on any challenge that you face. I think finding that physical, mental, emotional balance. I try and work out as much as I can, just because I found, for me personally, that has always been my greatest time to have off-the-wall thoughts that have ended up being, you know, something really valuable down the road. So just standing up, walking away from your computer, and having a fresh perspective, any challenge seems way more doable after that.
What's the best lesson you've learned about yourself in pursuing your dreams?
I am who I am, and I have always been a project manager, which is to say I have always been told that I was bossy ever since I was 2 years old. But I really just love to have ideas and see them through, and I love to collaborate with other people, but I also love to delegate, and I think I have the personality of a founder. To be perfectly honest, I think a lot of these traits, if I was a man, are A++, you know, that's great. And as a woman, you're constantly fighting back of that negative stereotype of, oh, she's just trying to tell me what to do. No, I have these ideas and I would love your feedback and I would love to get them to the next level. You have to be in charge and moving things forward to get anything done.
100%. What woman in tech inspires you?
Esprit Devora.
Are you being serious?
I am. I found
Thank you.
I think that connecting people is one of the most amazing skills that you can have in any industry. And I think someone who is such a people person and is so good at sharing other people's stories and so generous of spirit is something the whole world lacks. And I think I appreciate all your positive feedback towards me, and I look forward to, you know, working together in the future. And I can't wait to listen to every single Women in Tech hosted by Esprit Devora show.
Let me give you a hug. That is so sweet. Thank you. I swear, between your like Weird LA Tech photos and that, I'm just gonna like turn into a mush ball. Thank you. Rachel, what's next for you?
I'm building my team. I'm looking for women around the world. You don't have to be in LA, but I'm just looking for kindred spirits. So get in touch. You can email me at Rachel, R-A-C-H-E-L, at fortune.movie. And let me know what you think. Take a look at my site. We're going to launch in the spring. And I just want as many women to be a part of this journey as possible.
And people can connect with you on all the various social networks as well.
Yeah, you can find me everywhere at Rachel Upshaw, R-A-C-H-E-L-U-P-S-H-A-W.
Perfect. Do you have a favorite book?
That's such a hard question. I would say all-time favorite book is Pride and Prejudice. It's one of those stories that is so evergreen, and it was written by a woman about women. And honestly, it's kind of crazy how hard it is to tell those stories in this day and age, and to know that that book was written hundreds of years ago is pretty amazing.
That is amazing. And how about a podcast or video series that is your must listen or must watch?
Oh, we could be here for hours. Well, I really love the Recode Decode podcast hosted by Kara Swisher. I think A, she's hilarious, and B, she just has such intriguing guests and interviews, and I just feel like she knows everything about everything. So she's been a great source of knowledge just listening to her podcast, and hopefully someday I'll know her.
And what resource? I mean, what's so great is that you're a female founder and you're with a tech company, and you're not letting it hold you back that you didn't start out as an engineer, even though your dad is like an engineer.
Well, he's a mechanical engineer.
So. But you've been exposed to the world. It's exciting.
My father would be so offended if he knew how bad I am at checking my oil. But, you know, honestly, the Google is pretty amazing. It's crazy that people started businesses without being able to just look up, like, what is an API or what does white label mean?
My God, I totally remembered when my business partner, okay, so all my business partners have been CTOs. And I remember when I learned, thank you, Spencer, like what an API was. And it was like so exciting. It's like when two websites or apps or just two different technical properties owned by two entirely different people can become friends and work together, essentially.
I mean, it's just crazy. All of the access and
like Zapier is like one of my favorite tools ever, and pretty much Zapier, if a site has an API, it means you can access their data and their like inner workings,
like their source code of certain things.
You know, and then you could utilize it to make better systems for yourself. So Zapier it works with all the companies and helps us people that may not be coders ourselves, like easily connect sites together and stuff so that we could create systemized processes. You guys just check out Zapier. It's amazing. But the term API,
it's just, yeah.
Yeah, like, I was like, oh. So
just
excited.
Every little nugget you can put together is just, you feel one tiny bit smarter.
100%.
One tiny bit more prepared.
What resource would you recommend for someone looking to get involved in technology today?
I think there are so many great opportunities just on Facebook groups. The Women in Tech, is that a Facebook group?
Do you know, I've never once talked about it. You guys, I've never once talked about it.
I think I'm a member of it.
So you can access the Women in Tech Facebook group simply by going to womenintechvip.com, and it forwards straight over to the Facebook group. So that's womenintechvip.com.
Oh, I want to be a Women in Tech VIP.
Right, you already are a Women in Tech VIP. What's your hobby aside from being a Women in Tech VIP?
I love scuba diving, but it's not a hobby. I do all the time, but I think it's probably the most magical thing in the whole world. And it shakes up your perspective when you're 40 feet underwater looking at an entire world and you think, like, this exists, you know, and like 97, don't quote me on that, but you know, there's so much ocean around the world, and you just realize, like, we're really just kind of a small part of the world.
Do you know that was my first company, an online scuba diving accessory shop?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I call it my starter business. Rachel, thank you so much for being on the Women in Tech show. You're absolutely awesome. And I'm so excited for Fortune.movie to accelerate and help a lot of people have their dream projects be made.
Thanks so much, Esprit.
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech. To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech Show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech Show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech Show is a WeAreTech.fm production.